This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. First up, should Malaysia implement menstrual leave?
So this is not the first time, I think, that this conversation is being had, but it is back in the spotlight because yesterday, Haniza Mohamed Talha, Deputy President of Parti Bangsa Malaysia, suggested that Putrajaya should consider creating a law that allows women suffering from severe menstrual pain to take leave from work rather than having to go see a doctor to obtain medical leave. And I mean, just some supporting numbers for that, right? Because in 2017, research by YouGov on dysmenorrhea and working women found that 86% of women actually reported experiencing period pain, which I think is unsurprising. Meanwhile, 81% of those who continued to work say that they saw a drop in their ability to perform their duties. And of course, if we did this, we wouldn't exactly be groundbreakers here because other countries have already done so. Indonesia, for example, allows female workers to take up to 2 days a month for menstrual leave.
Yes, and I think the headlines most recently have been from Spain, where the Spanish government recently approved a draft proposal with a range of reproductive rights provisions, and this actually includes paid medical leave for women with severe menstrual pain. And we also see this in countries like South Korea, for instance. So, I mean, this brings us back to not just the provision of that leave itself, but why many parties feel that it's so important to actually declare it as such. And that comes back, of course, to the question of stigma and how often it's quite challenging in many settings and in workplaces for women to say that they need menstrual leave or that they are undergoing pain because of menstruation.
Well, and the monthly rhythm of it, I think, is also an important thing to say, because the point that is being made here is partly that, yes, of course, you can take MC. Yes, of course, you can take time off. And those are things that companies have provisions for. But if we go back, for example, to what Haniza Mohamed Talha said, she said that essentially it's unfair to expect women who suffer from severe menstrual cramps to use up their annual MC quota for a condition that occurs monthly. And I think that you could kind of make that extension. And Sharmila, you and I were talking off air, and this was something that you brought up, that in other situations, for example, mental health or chronic illnesses, for that matter, you know, of which there are any number, a fair amount of which involve exhaustion, in fact, as one of the symptoms, you know, it's worth considering whether or not our current system of sick leave in general accounts for the ways in which people might actually need to take time off.
Yes. And so actually, I've thought a lot about the notion of menstrual leave, and I am in favor of it. But I actually also think that this could be extended for us to talk about a range of issues that may not necessarily fall so neatly under that 14-day MC that you get every year, right? Things that are recurring, things that are chronic. And perhaps this is actually a gateway for us to discuss more comprehensively, a more employee-friendly, a more employee-empathetic idea of when you're able to take off for your health or your personal needs.
Well, I wanted to add on also, because I think it's inevitable that at some point the question of productivity is going to come in, right? About how it is that you account for somebody taking time off every month for 2 or 3 days, depending on which country in the world you work in, and how to account for that. And I would go back, I suppose, to that survey, which said 81% of the women who did experience menstrual pain say that they saw a significant dip in their productivity on the day. And so maybe that's also a question of reframing what it is that we consider productive. Because I think that this is part of the work from home conversation, isn't it? That this idea that you have to be physically present in order to be productive, or that if you are physically present, you are therefore productive, when those two things don't always correlate.
All of which to say, we are discussing the suggestion that we implement menstrual leave for women who might suffer from severe menstrual pain as separate from your MC provisions. We'd like to hear from you. Would you support the notion of menstrual leave? You can call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Surita Mogan, who is founder of My Endosis. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:13. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about a renewed call for menstrual leave. And that's really what we're asking you. Would you support menstrual leave? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Sarita Morgan, founder of My Endosis. Sarita, welcome to the show.
Hi. Yes, thank you for inviting me. Thank you so much.
So firstly, tell us about My Endosis and the work that you do.
Well, actually, My Endosis is a support group for women who suffer from endometriosis and adenomyosis. We support women and empowerment. Our association has been around since 2014, and our mission is to provide emotional support and information to women who suffer from endometriosis, as well as to provide better awareness of this illness, especially among our community. We are actually affiliated to World Endo March, Inc., a global movement in 52 countries. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to end the silence on chronic period pain, which is a timely topic today. And we are one of the symptoms of endometriosis is period pain.
So talk to us then about how disruptive endometriosis and, in fact, chronic menstrual pain can be for the women who suffer from it. And how does it affect their work?
Well, we all know that there are a lot of women who face problems with their period. And according to NST News, stated recently, 15 February, there are about 350,000 Malaysian women who have or suspected to have endometriosis. So the most challenging part about endometriosis is explaining to everyone that endometriosis is not just expected normal period cramps. It is a known fact that it is an invisible illness where we all look fine on the outside, and yet we face challenges in coping with the illness. Now, as you can see, we definitely cannot run away from addressing this at the workplace because there are more and more women, and you can see that there are more and more women who are suffering in silence. And at the same time, we women, we all know this, we're marginalized and oppressed by our society simply because there is this strong assumption that women like us have to go through pain and we have to go through it quietly. And even if we complain about period pain, it's like we're exaggerating our period pain. So I feel there is a connection with the culture and taboo and stigma on period pain. That's what I believe it is.
And to extend that, what sort of stigma and judgment exists around menstrual pain, particularly in the workplace?
Well, the stigma does exist. Okay, if you ask any women, they will say the same thing, all right? And our association is trying to change the perception employers especially have towards patients like me. Well, women who complain about pain at work are normally deemed lazy, or they're deemed that they are trying to avoid work. And I'm not only talking about work, I'm also talking about at home. I'm talking about the society in general. So when we talk about pain, we are shunned on, you know, we're looked down upon. And even the worst case is sometimes women look down on us. Okay, so women who don't have probably chronic period pain or period pain. So a situation like this can cause added stress to the patients, and especially if they're working and employers who are not receptive on what they're going through, that can cause a lot of problems. I feel this negative perception has to end immediately. Now, the strange thing is, all right, based on my experience, dealing with patients and, of course, our society and association as well, there is genuine cases of patients, and sometimes with medical letters to support them from doctors, and this is definitely ignored by some employers. Okay, so I find it very strange that menstrual health is still not looked upon seriously, although it's an essential component of women's rights. Now, it's definitely a disservice to all of us if we continue to choose to ignore it. That's what I feel.
So we're talking about this today because there have been suggestions for the government to consider instating menstrual leave. This is something we've seen in countries most recently and hopefully like Spain, but also Indonesia. What did you make of this suggestion?
I think it's timely and it should be done. Okay. And of course, menstrual pain should be something we talk about openly at work. I'm surprised that we are still not doing that. And I think by providing menstrual leave, we are acknowledging women's hurdle when dealing with menstrual issue. And this will create a better environment for support to take place at work and at home as well.
So specifically, what would you want this policy to look like? How could it be implemented well?
Well, I think we should just emulate what Spain, Indonesia, and other countries are doing. Now, legislation can be mooted out, but it has to be something that we make it compulsory. You know, if we give it an option, all right, if we give employees an option to provide this, then it'll be a problem. Now, we should remove ourselves from perception that by providing menstrual leave, we are putting a dent in productivity or we're putting a dent on profits at work. Okay, so I truly believe that this should not be looked in this way. Now, I'm actually not surprised that it's happening in Spain and in some countries, because I think it's timely that we look at social welfare at work. And that's not happening much in Malaysia. Okay, social welfare at work is always at the back seat, all right? It's not put as a priority. And that's disturbing because employers don't see this. You know, if you take good care of your employees, definitely they will work harder. And of course, and I truly believe that menstrual leave should be provided. But at the same time, I feel employers should be given incentives if they prioritize the welfare of their staff, like providing menstrual leave. If you don't provide incentives for them, then they might not want to create this environment where they provide menstrual leave.
So we're going to get into some of the pushback against this because we're actually getting some in the messages. But before that, while we're talking about workplaces, how can we create a workplace environment that overall is more period friendly?
Okay, first and foremost, acknowledging that pain exists should be there. Okay, so that's something we have to understand. And we should actually talk about this at work. Talks should be given to staff at work. Human resource department should speak about this openly at work. And that should come first. If you're just going to impose this menstrual leave suddenly, I think there will definitely be a pushback, okay? Especially when people don't understand. And I believe that there are some women who don't have period pain and they will go like, hey, what about me? You know, so I can work well, you know. So I think generally we have to work very, very fast. First and foremost, address this issue of menstrual pain as being normal. You know, we should address that. We should create a platform where women talk about pain. And it's not only women, men should also be able to speak about this, should be able to discuss about this. And I truly believe that we can't run away from this. Women are everywhere. We're employers, we're employees, we're mothers, sisters, you know, we're everywhere. So wife, you know, we are everywhere. So how can we ignore this very basic biological thing that we have? That's what I feel.
So we have this message from a listener, which I think covers some of the kind of criticism of the idea of menstrual leave, right? Yeah. So Kwok Ming says, if menstrual pain is allowed as paid leave, does this mean that females are biologically less capable, hence less productive? Then does pay equality become relevant? How would you respond to this?
Okay, I truly believe that genuine cases of period pain, like what we are going through, patients like us, endometriosis, or even PCOS, genuine cases like this should be supported. And I know there are people who might think, oh, how do we determine who is having pain and who is not having pain? Then by right, a doctor should support this, you know? So with a proper documentation, then it should take place. And yeah, of course, I'm sure there will be disagreement and I'm sure there'll be people who say, oh, how do we determine who's facing period pain and who's not facing period pain? That's quite common and that's quite normal. But we have to address this by letting people talk about this healthily. And at the same time, if it comes with a doctor's letter with support, and even if it's chronic period pain, if you see a continuous pattern of this particular employee who goes to see a doctor every time she has period pain, then it's something that we should take it seriously. Now, of course, does this create this inequality? You know, like what this person who mentioned just now? Well, if you look at it, there will be this perception that, oh, women are not equal, we are talking about being equal, and why are we addressing this? Okay, well, the biological part is still there. We cannot deny this. We are still menstruating. We are the ones who can actually get pregnant. Okay, so that's something we cannot ignore, all right? Biologically, we can do that. And we, at times, you know, when we talk about productivity, we want fertility to increase. You know, as you can see, fertility in Malaysia is going downwards. And we want women to give birth. We want women to be productive at the same time. Now, how do we strike the right balance here? How can you tell women to do all this and at the same time you question them? You know, that's something that we have to understand and we have to address. Of course, it's a tricky thing. I cannot deny this. And like I said, sometimes you need to look at the countries that offer menstrual leave, whether generally the society is accepting. You know, it's not that they are discriminating women. They are accepting women. And they understand that women need to menstruate in order to bear children or to conceive, or menstruation is normal. Even if you don't conceive, it's normal. It's a biological thing. I know it's a bit tricky. I don't know how to answer. I'm not comfortable answering this question, because I know it'll be very difficult to give the correct answer, because we can never please everybody. That's the known fact. Okay, even employers might be a bit worried about this.
So with that then, I mean, assuming that we do implement a law like this, how would it impact women's health rights as a whole? You know, what kind of knock-on effects might we see?
Okay, so if we implement a law like this, I find that if we're looking at taking care of our welfare of our staff, I find that productivity will increase. That's my thought. Okay, so because I feel there are so many research done, you can actually look up, there are so many research done on taking care of the welfare of your staff. If employees know that employers care about them and genuinely respect what they are going through, they will work harder. Of course, there will be some who don't, all right? But generally, I think if you look at a lot of research done, if you put social welfare as a priority at work, it will make a lot of difference.
In closing, what do you hope to see being done to push for better workplace policies that take women's needs into account?
Yes, okay, that's a very good question, because I feel, like I said, I truly believe that this should be spoken about, all right, actively spoken about at work. Talks should be conducted at work and even from the HR department. And I truly believe that understanding should be created, that talking about period pain is normal, you know, and of course, going through it, you should be able to speak to your employers about this. Now, what's disturbing is from what I went through, and even from what other patients like myself went through, we normally don't talk about this to our employers, because we are afraid to be discriminated. Okay, we're afraid to be demoted or not given bonuses. Okay, so that can happen. All right, so a lot of us take large amount of painkillers just to survive. Okay, I think many females would agree to this. We all put a brave front, but we're actually suffering. But nobody sees this, okay? When we do this, when we take large amount of painkillers, when we suffer in silence, we're not productive. So it's pointless to be at work in the first place. So when we're at work, we are not productive. We have chronic tiredness. We can't perform well. So it's just basically an act. So it's better to put them at home where they get the much needed rest, or they go and see a doctor and get the much needed rest at home, and then come back when they're okay, when they're fine. So that's what I truly believe that should work in Malaysia.
Sarita, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
That was Sarita Mogan, founder of My Endosis, weighing in on a call for menstrual leave to be implemented here in Malaysia for women with painful periods, chronic pain when it comes to menstruation. We'd love to hear from you. Would you support menstrual leave? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are getting lots of messages already on both sides of the divide, I want to say. So do keep them coming and we'll get to them after this. Once again, that question is, would you support menstrual leave? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. You're listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.